This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I'd like to study with you from God's Word about the new birth, being born again. If you'd like to turn to John chapter 3, in just a moment we will read that text of Scripture as we study this very important topic. Maybe you have heard other individuals talk about being born again, a born-again Christian. The importance of the new birth or the importance of being born again, and you've wondered about that. Maybe you've heard a preacher talk about that or have heard a lesson about that before. It is very common language because it is in Scripture, but it is in religion as a whole, and many people talk about it. It's misused and abused in the religious world, and we want to get back to looking at what Jesus said about it when he was talking with Nicodemus. Get back to the truth of what it means to be born again. You, friend, do need to be born again. So do I. We all have been born once physically from our mother, but we need to be born again a second time, a spiritual birth, in order to be right with God and go and be with him in heaven when Jesus comes again. So let's study and see what Jesus said about the new birth in John chapter 3. Now, a lot of times people will talk about the new birth and they'll read the first few verses of John chapter 3. We're actually going to read all the way down to verse 21. I believe Jesus continues to talk to Nicodemus past the first few verses, all the way down to verse 21, and you'll see later why that is important. There are some things that are said after the discussion of the new birth that let us know what is involved on our part in being born again. A lot of times, passages like this and studies like this in the religious world today are described as faith-only passages. Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and the moment you do that, you'll be born again. There's nothing you need to do except accept Jesus. Well, we're going to see that there is obedience involved in being born again, and that's why it's important to read all the way down through verse 21. So let's take our Bibles in hand and read John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came unto him by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that thou doest except God be with him. He's talking about miracles. You can look at the miracle of turning water into wine in John chapter 2. And so Nicodemus recognizes that Jesus is come from God because he can work miracles. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except one be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born anew. The wind blows where it will, and you hear the voice thereof, but know not whence it comes, and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou the teacher of Israel, and understandest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that which we know, and bear witness of that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I told you earthly things, and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he that descended out of heaven, even the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes may in him have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. For God sent not the Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through him. He that believes on him is not judged. He that believes not has been judged already, because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light is come into the world, and men loved the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For every one that does evil hates the light, and comes not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that does the truth comes to the light, that his works may be manifest, that they have been wrought in God. And so a great discussion, a study, a lesson, a sermon between Jesus and Nicodemus, who came to him by night. This morning, friends, on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to talk about four lessons concerning the new birth. I want to talk about, number one, the fact of the new birth. Number two, the subject or candidate or the person of the new birth. Number three, the necessity of the new birth. And number four, the effects or the outcome or the result of the new birth. First of all, let's look at the fact of the new birth. Jesus said, except one be born again, or born anew, literally from above, we're talking about a spiritual birth, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And so, we're all aware of the natural birth, and this is what Nicodemus had in mind. He's talking about being born into his mother's womb. Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb? He was thinking of physical birth, and we're all aware of the physical birth process. But Jesus is speaking of a new or second birth, born again, a spiritual birth. And so the fact of the new birth is set forth here and in other scriptures, as we'll see in a minute. We must be born again. That is a fact. And we must not make the same mistake as Nicodemus made. We need to be looking for another spiritual birth to enter into the kingdom of God. We have to get the facts right with regard to this new birth. Just like we want our children to grow up and get the facts about where a baby comes from and where how the physical birth takes place, we want to get the Bible facts on this new birth. So let's notice a few details. First of all, if you come back with me to verse 5, we're talking about one birth made up of two elements. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except one be born of water and the Spirit. It's not born of water and born of Spirit, but born once of water and the Spirit. One birth that has two elements to it. Literally, born of water and Spirit. To be born of water is a reference to water baptism. We come out of the water of baptism a new creature in Christ. Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Each of the conversions in the book of Acts ended with the person being baptized for the remission of his sins, Acts 2:38, or to wash away his sins, Acts 22:16. Now, there are religions who say that we're saved by faith only and baptism is not necessary. So when they come to the new birth here in John chapter 3, they say that the water is the physical water of being born physically, as in a mother's water breaks and then she has a baby thereafter. And then being born of the Spirit is the spiritual new birth by faith only. Well, that's not right, because that's the very point Jesus is making with Nicodemus. It's not a physical, he's not talking about a physical birth. Nicodemus thought he was, and Jesus corrected him. Jesus is talking about heavenly things, not earthly things. Verse 12. Jesus is talking about that which is spiritual in nature, not that which is physical in nature. So it is something different. So Jesus is not talking about the water. The water in verse 5 is not the water of the mother giving birth. Jesus is talking about a new birth that involves water and spirit. And the water that is used in the New Testament is water baptism. So we must be baptized into Christ in order to be born again. But that's only one element. We are born of water and spirit. To be born of spirit means to be born of the words of the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit give birth to someone? Well, when a person obeys his words and is baptized, it's going to produce what the Holy Spirit wants. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God in order to beget someone as a child of God. Let's look at a few Bible passages that tie in the Word of God with being born again. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthian brethren, he had been there in Acts chapter 18 and he had preached the gospel. Acts 18 verse 8, they heard the gospel, they believed it, and they were baptized. Hearing, believed, and they were baptized, Acts 18:8. So these Corinthians heard the gospel. Well, when they heard and believed and obeyed the gospel and were baptized, they were born again. And Paul later, writing to them, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, "For though you have 10,000 tutors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus," look at this, "I begat you through the gospel." I begat you through the gospel. A spiritual begetting or birth through the gospel. So when the gospel is preached, that's the words of the Holy Spirit being preached. And they heard that, they believed those words, and they were baptized, Acts 18, verse 8, and they were born again. We have another example of this in James chapter 1 and verse 18. James 1:18, "Of his own will he brought us forth." There's your new birth. How? "By the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures." And so a baby is a creation of its mother and father, and it comes forth, it's brought forth. Well, a Christian is a new creation brought forth by God's own will. Well, how is that will expressed? By the word of truth. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. 1 Peter 1:23, we find the same thing over here. Peter in verse 22, "Seeing you have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, love one another from the heart fervently, having been begotten again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides." So we have obedience to the truth, verse 22, and we have been begotten again through the word of God. So it's obedience to the word of God, Peter says, is what allowed them to be begotten again. And so this is very important. Now, if you back up to verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat us again into a living hope. God obviously has a role in this, and his mercy and grace provided the plan of salvation and Jesus on the cross and the preaching of the gospel. And so God has a part, his mercy and grace, in begetting us, and our part is to be obedient to that merciful gospel that he gives us. And so an individual working together with the Holy Spirit's words, they are born again. And we are begotten of God, 1 John 5:1, when we believe. Believe what? Believe the words of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, it is being born of water, baptism, and being born by obeying the words of the Holy Spirit. And I'll look at a couple of passages and then we'll move along. Paul will say the same thing that Jesus said, being born of water and spirit. The Apostle Paul, of course, agreeing with Jesus, will write the same thing. Here's a couple of examples. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, that he, Jesus, might sanctify it, the church, having cleansed it by the washing of water with the word. So being born of water and spirit. The washing of water with the word. Whose words? Or word? The Holy Spirit's. And then another passage where the Apostle Paul says the same thing, using a little bit different language. He's talking about the new birth. If you turn over to Titus chapter 3, you'll find the same thing there, where we find in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, not by works done in righteousness, which we did ourselves, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The washing of regeneration would be water baptism, and the renewing of the Holy Spirit would be born of the Spirit. And that is saying the same thing that Jesus is saying. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water. The same thing, baptism and a true heart in the fullness of faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing God's word, Romans 10, 17. And so we find this combination of hearing the word of God and baptism joined together. It's joined together in the book of Acts, like I mentioned before. Jesus said in the Great Commission of Mark 16, verse 16, verse 15, go preach the gospel to all creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth what? The gospel, verse 15, and is baptized shall be saved. That's the same thing as saying he that is born of water and spirit, the words of the Holy Spirit. So the fact of the new birth, you need to be baptized, friend, for the remission of your sins, and you need to obey the words of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that I'd like to talk about, going back to John chapter 3 now, is the subject or the candidate of the new birth. In verse 3, Jesus said, except one be born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We must be born again. And who is this person that must be born again before he or she can enter into the kingdom of God? Notice Jesus said, except one. He's talking about everyone. This includes even Nicodemus, who was a Jewish Pharisee and ruler of the Jews. He was a very religious individual. But even he needed to do that. The statement in verse 3 of Jesus is general, applying to all who would come into the kingdom. And the same is true today, and there are no exceptions. This man is a religious individual, but even he needed to be born of water in the Spirit. In other words, for the Jew at this time, the way to enter into the kingdom is no longer the Old Testament law and Judaism, but he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And so Jesus is transitioning and telling even these religious Jews that they need to do something to see or enter into the kingdom. Age, race, religious preference, political party, etc., are not given as conditions by Jesus. What's given is being born of water and spirit. Nicodemus, a Jew, a Pharisee, a ruler, a member of the Sanhedrin, most likely, even he and all of his colleagues and others like him, they had to be born again in order to see the kingdom. And in verse 7, he makes it very clear. You must be born anew. You, Nicodemus. Today, no matter what your background is, friend, you too must be born again before you can enter into the kingdom of God. You must put away any prejudices, any preconceived notions about conversion or about being right with God, and humbly submit to the new birth, being born of water and spirit. Put away any teachings that you have heard before. Put away any traditions, anything that was taught in the past, and just simply obey this simple John 3 text of being born anew. It's not faith only. As we're going to see in a minute, there are other things that we must do. So if we've been taught, if you've been taught in the past, faith only or something else, just put all of that away. And like Nicodemus, when you're hearing for the first time what you need to do, just simply accept that. The third thing that I'd like to talk about with regard to the new birth is the necessity of the new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. Notice the word except in verse 3, except one be born anew. And he brings that up again in verse 5, except one. The word except means if and only if you do this. There are different times in Jesus' teaching where he used that word except. Except your righteousness exceed, Matthew 5:20. Except you be converted and become like a little child, Matthew 18:3. Except you abide in the vine, John 15:4. Except you repent, Luke 13:3-5. It means if and only if you do this, can you enter into the kingdom of God. This statement by Jesus shows us the absolute necessity of being born again before we can enter into the kingdom of heaven. We must be born this way to enter into Jesus' kingdom. Just like individuals who are born here are naturalized citizens, or if you're not born here, you must comply with U.S. naturalization laws in order to enter into this country. In the same way, one must be born again to enter into the kingdom of God. You can't circumvent that. You can't get in some other way. There's one and only one way in. Only one new birth. There's all kinds of plans of salvation that have been given by man. There's all kinds of world religions. But we are interested, friends, in the one that Jesus talks about. There is only one new birth. Those not born again, if you're not born again, if I'm not born again, we're not in the kingdom. This is not hard to understand. And so, we must be born again. What is one missing who refuses to be born again? Jesus said that he cannot see the kingdom, meaning he cannot enjoy it, possess it, be a part of it. He cannot enter it, verse 5. And why is that so important? Because elsewhere in the New Testament, the kingdom is where we need to be in order to be saved. We have to be in the kingdom, Colossians 1:13, in order to be saved. We have to be in the kingdom when Christ comes again. It's a body of people, a kingdom that will be given, a body of saved people that will be given up to God when Jesus comes again. 1 Corinthians 15:24. So if you and I are not in the kingdom, you and I are not saved. And so it's important, the necessity of this is important to see today. And then last of all, number four, I want to talk about the effects, the results, or the product of the new birth. What happens when we are born again? Well, first of all, we are the product of our Heavenly Father. We're a spiritual individual. We are like God. We are like Christ. We are like the Holy Spirit. Notice in verse 6, Jesus says, "That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh." I look like my parents. You look like your parents. We have physical characteristics like them. Their genes were passed on to us, and so we're like them fleshly. Well, in the same way, when we are born of water and spirit, we are like God. We are like Jesus. We are like the Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying basically that like begets like, just like in Genesis chapter 1, where all things produced after their kind, like begets like. Well, in the same way, you have it in the natural birth as a product of our parents, and we physically are like them. In the spiritual birth, we are a product of the Holy Spirit working through the Word, and thus we are a child of God. And we are God-like. We are Christ-like. We are bearing the fruits of the Holy Spirit in our life, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. So, first of all, we are a product of the Heavenly Father. The second effect or result is that we are a reflection of our Heavenly Father. Jesus said in verse 8, "Thou hearest the voice thereof." We don't see the wind where it blows, but we know the voice. The wind blows where it will, and thou hearest the voice thereof, but knowest not whence it comes and whether it goes. You don't see it, but you hear it. And so Jesus is talking about effects, the effects of wind blowing. And in the same way, when we're born of water and spirit, the effects are we reflect the image of our Heavenly Father. We are like God. We are like Christ. That's why other places in the New Testament, like 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're called new creatures in Christ. And we partake of the divine nature, 2 Peter 1:4. Friends, have you been born again? If not, you need to be. Let me help you to do that, to be born of water and spirit. And we didn't have time, like I thought, to get on into the rest of the verses down to verse 21. But in verse 14, it talks about obedience there. In verse 20, it talks about doing the truth. Verse 21, we must obey in order to be born again. Well, we're out of time. I hope our lesson has been helpful, and I'm glad that you've joined us today for the Let the Bible Speak program.